Let's open our scriptures to Proverbs again, and this time going back to chapter 3. You'll read the first 12 verses of Proverbs chapter 3, special attention on verses 5 and 6, the call to trust in the Lord. Let's hear the word of God. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your ways. Make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, and with the first fruits of all your produce. And then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, or be weary of His reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom He loves, as a father the son in whom he delights. Let's ask the Lord's blessing on the reading of His word and proclamation. Lord God, we thank and praise You that You have made Yourself and revealed Yourself to be our Father through Jesus Christ. We thank and praise You that You give us confidence and courage through this, that You make sense of the world in this light, that You make sense of our lives in this light. You give us strength to bear up in any and every situation. You show us where to go with thanksgiving when we see Your blessing and glory and beauty. You give us courage for tomorrow, and we can see in the past that You have been our God, and You will be forever. And we ask for Your blessing here today. Bless us with the power of Your Holy Spirit. Bless Your servants in every place where they stand to speak in Your name. Confound those who would confound Your word. Make powerful those who love Your word. And draw the eyes of everyone to look to You. In Jesus' name, amen. Beloved brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. You know, I might not, if someone asked me what's your favorite Bible verse, I might not have chosen this as my favorite or most memorable text of Scripture. I tend to go to texts like, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Those are so powerful for me, Acts 2:21, and there's quite a few like that. But as I looked at a little of the literature on this text, this text came out really high on the list of all-time first favorites. Number one almost, if not number one. And it's Old Testament, which is significant and interesting. And then I tried to think about when I had first learned this text, and I couldn't remember. It seemed like it had always been part of me. and must have learned it in Bible 101 when I was a very little child. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. He'll make them straight. And if you think about this for a minute, you're almost necessarily taken back to the Garden of Eden. At least I am. What was that all about? The woman looked at the fruit and saw that it was good for food and pleasing to the eye and desirable for gaining wisdom. And she took and ate. And she gave some to her husband. And he ate. His own understanding too, was it would be better to eat than not to eat. God said, don't eat it. It will kill you. It looks really good, but in the day you eat it, you will die. They listened instead to the serpent's lie. They decided that the Lord's command was keeping them from realizing their full potential. They did not acknowledge in that day that the Lord is God and that all that He says is right and true. Perhaps they even thought, wow, think how we can honor Him if we come to our full potential. We got to make our own decisions. Come to sure. And then notice, the serpent, he tried to do the same thing with the last Adam. Jesus was not surrounded by fruit and every good thing, but he was very hungry from many days of fasting and prayer. And the serpent says, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. Jesus replied, not. He replied, it is written, man does not live on bread alone. The last part of the quote is given in Matthew. By every word that comes from the mouth of God, we need to take our stand by faith in the last Adam and live by the same spirit that lives in him. And our theme is trust in the Lord with all your heart. And we're going to look at three things that we are and need to know the Lord, that we are to lean not on our own understanding, and that He will make our pathways straight. So about knowing the Lord, always, where are we coming from on that? As in so many Proverbs, the second part of the Proverb, you know, in a lot of the Proverbs, there's an opening statement and then there's a second statement in the same verse. In so many of these, the second part strengthens or expands or comments on the first. And often it's very important to consider the second, to have a better understanding of the first. So here in the second half of verses 5 and 6, there's a comment on the first half of each. First half of 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And that's focused by saying, lean not on your own understanding. Put them together, keep them together for understanding the whole. Number 6, verse 6, in all your ways acknowledge Him, strengthened with a promise, He will make your path straight. Keep it together. But here, verse 5 is also completed by verse 6. And that's also important to hold on to. The first part of verse 5, which is our theme, trust in the Lord with all your heart, that's commented on by the first part of verse 6. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. They expand on each other. They need to be kept together. Well, here's the thing. To trust in the Lord with all your heart will mean acknowledging Him in all your ways. These two go together. They are not separable. All your ways, that they will mean trusting in the Lord with all your heart. It will mean acknowledging Him in all your ways. In work, in play, in holiday, what we do when we're out with our girlfriend, our boyfriend, you name it. All our ways. But we can't do that, and we won't do that unless we know Him. Acknowledging Him requires knowing Him. Knowing Him is integral to trusting Him. Trusting Him is impossible without knowing Him. It's hard enough to trust Him for those who do know Him. It takes faith as a gift from God. Faith that is stirred up, as Paul says to us. Stir up the gift of God that is in you. It's faith. What we're saying here is, what we're told here is impossible without knowing the Lord. It is impossible without knowing the Lord and knowing Him as revealed in Jesus Christ. We read a little earlier of Moses going out to meet Pharaoh. Moses tells Pharaoh, the Lord says, let my people Israel go. Now, however we think about this, Pharaoh asks a fair question. Who is the Lord that I should obey Him? That is a fair question. I do not know Him, and I will not let His people go. Now, after the 10th plague, he knew enough of the Lord to say to Moses and Aaron, get out of here, all of you, and take them all with you. But the thing is, even then, he did not know the Lord in a way leading to trusting Him, in a way leading to seeking Him, in a way leading to following Him. And the first thing he did was change his mind and try to bring him back and die in the sea. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths. Know Him as your only Savior and He will direct your paths. We have to know Him as our Savior before we can start to do this. Israel had just been saved because of the love of God that would be revealed in Jesus. And in light of that salvation, when they were immediately surrounded by the enemy again, they listened to Moses and trusted God. It still wasn't easy. The first thing they did was accuse Moses. What did you do? Bring us out of there to kill us here? But Moses said, do not be afraid. The Lord will fight for you. Go forward. And I can't imagine what they were thinking when Moses said this, and they looked at the sea in front of them. But that night, a wind started to blow, and a path opened up, and the Lord made their path straight. We are called to trust in the Lord with all our heart, acknowledge Him in all our ways. We have to know Him in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is so powerfully revealed in Scripture so that there's no mistake in us. And I thought, where would I go to try and bring this out from just one text? Because I don't want to turn the sermon on that. I wanted to go, you know where, to Romans 5, where Paul says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In other words, we were not calling on him while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. And he says, now, if while you were still sinners, Christ came down and died for you and brought you into peace with God, how much more will you be saved by his life, trusting in him? Like, I don't think it gets any more powerful than that. That's how we have to know our God. This God, the Lord, we can trust with all our hearts. The second one here, the thing to pay attention to, is that we are to lean not on our own understanding. Now, what are we to understand when the Spirit of God adds this? Lean not on your own understanding. See, the thought of the text might seem to move from heart, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. It seems to move from heart to head. Trust your heart, not your understanding in your head. But that is not what it is saying. It's not saying follow your heart, not your head. That's what so many are doing today. What many in the church are advocating today. And I think of a very recent synod of a church. Now, this church held the truth on sexual activity kept within the bounds of biblical marriage. But the interesting thing is, the majority of the committee of advice, so the committee that was given to advise the whole synod, the majority of that committee appealed to the heart against the truth of God. What if one of your own children was involved? They appealed to the heart against the Word of God. That is following your own understanding. What we need to understand is that the heart is the source of what we think and say and believe. Our hearts must be given to the Lord, trusting His salvation, His promises, His word, or we will be governed by our own understanding. Our minds are motivated by our hearts. If our hearts are not given to the Lord in faith, in love, in humility, trusting Him, our minds will serve ourselves. We will make fine-sounding arguments, even using the name of God, but the purpose will be self-protection, self-justification, self-will, following our own understanding. And so we do. We totally do have to follow our hearts. I am not afraid of saying that we must follow our hearts. We always follow our hearts. Even when we are resisting sin that's tempting us, we are following our hearts. We always follow our hearts. That's why our hearts must be given to the Lord. And with hearts trusting the Lord, His word, our understanding will be His truth. Now, how are we tempted to follow our own understanding in the way that we're called not to? By lack of trust in God. And the examples of faith are amazing. Think of Noah. Noah, I am going to flood the whole earth. Huh? Where are you going to get the water? Build an ark over there. Huh? There's no water anywhere around here. You're going to bring judgment on the whole world? What if they'll kill me? Do you have any idea when you think about it? Do you really think about how much Noah had to say no to his own understanding and just trust the Lord? It's amazing. And you can just go on. Abraham, leave your home and go to the country over there, and I'm going to make you the greatest man man, king of nations, the whole world's going to be set. He was rich. He was in family. He was where he wanted to be. Leave it all. Live in a tent. Generations following will be good. Wow. Moses, go take my people up. He knew what was going on down there. He was raised in Pharaoh's household. Moses, go take everybody out. Like, come on. Peter, like, I thought of Peter for a second. I don't know where to go with Peter. You know, wait, tell me to come to you walking on the water. Well, that's... But, no, I thought, Jesus is saying, I'm going to be crucified in Jerusalem. Peter saying, no way, Lord, not ever. That will never happen to you. You're the Messiah. That cannot happen. Get behind me, Peter. Satan. You know where I went with Paul in the end? Or, sorry, with Peter? Galatians. Paul. Peter had been eating with the Gentiles. He understood. But when the Pharisaic Jews came there, he pulled back and wouldn't eat with the Gentiles anymore. And Paul had to confront him and say, you are not trusting in God. What you are doing is evil. You have to stop that. What about Jesus? Jesus came down from heaven and became man. And he learned, as a man, he learned who he was and what he had to do. And he learned that he was to go to the cross to take away our sin. And for the sake of the joy set before him, he did it. He trusted in God, not in his own understanding. Now we might think, of all of these and so many more, we might think, well, they all heard the voice of the Lord. They saw miracles. But do you know that James says, we are given the same spirit that lived in those men, every one of them, including Jesus. And so we are called to do many things, trusting in the Lord with all our hearts and acknowledging him in all our ways. Sometimes just lifting up our heads and praising the Lord is doing this. And I would ask you to pray for your counsel, especially now, but normally too, as we do for you and for all. Sometimes this is a big act of faith, to lift up our heads praising God. Everything looks difficult. Might as well be the Red Sea in front of us. We can wonder if we did something wrong and put ourselves in trouble. Many times that will be the devil himself undermining our faith and trust. These things happen. Talked with someone last week who said she felt that she had never been tested on this until recently. Well, the fact of the matter is that the Lord will test us all on this. He's going to take us to the gym. Every one of us. Nobody escapes. There are things in life that will take heart trust to honor God. Perhaps if you're single in Christ and would like to find someone to establish a home, take heart trust in God to walk through this and honor him in everything. Perhaps you're thinking of getting married. You might still be at the same place. I can say this, I can do this. I haven't got a clue what's coming tomorrow. Trust in God. And you can. Our own understanding might say, no, don't. And if God says don't, our own understanding would say do. We have to trust in God. Within our passage, if you go toward the end, we hear the words, honor the Lord with the first fruits of your wealth. That can be really hard for people. There might not be enough for me in the end. Who knows what's coming tomorrow? I might need it. I really want to do this. I haven't got time. I can't do it right now. Honor the Lord with your first fruits. I am not one who really, pounds on this tithing thing. We teach tithing. It's a good way to learn to give the Lord seriously and honestly and thankfully. I think it's a great thing for us to learn to tithe to the Lord. But really it says, give up to the Lord of the first fruits of your wealth. And when you read in 1 Corinthians about this, it says, the one who sows sparingly reaps sparingly. The one who sows generously reaps generously. But it says, give of the first fruits. It doesn't say, wait until the end of the month and see if there's anything left over and give that to the Lord or some of that to the Lord if you can. It says, give of the first fruits of what you have. Not of what you don't have. Give of the first fruits of what you have. It takes trust in the Lord to do that. You're walking with Him. Trusting Him for tomorrow. It says at the end, don't despise the Lord's discipline. He is treating you as sons. Whatever difficulty comes into our lives, we might even be in a tough marriage. Or maybe we're the tough one, but anyway, it's tough. Even that. God is treating us as sons. Even if we're daughters, He's treating us as sons. He's disciplining us. And we are not to despise that. We are not to become bitter and angry toward Him about that. We are not to rise up against Him on that. We are to say, help me, Lord. Teach me. Hold me. We are to try to understand what His purpose in all of these things is, and we'll get back to that. Think of Paul and Silas in the prison. That was so hard. And we read that they were singing songs of praise to God. And I read just last week about some Christians who were in prison. And the story is, they were singing songs in prison. They were learning from Paul and Silas. They said, praise the Lord, I'm learning from you. Even if I never get to prison, which I hope I don't. He will make all your pathways straight. Well, what does it mean that He will make your pathways straight? Does it mean that your life is going to be an easy road? Generally? The image is of getting to your destination, your desired destination, by the quickest and easiest route. He will make all your pathways straight. Quickest and easiest route. That's the image. Crooked roads wind all over the place, tire you out. You fall into swamps. You fall amongst thieves. The straight road is the high, smooth road, cool breezes, nothing hidden, nothing unexpected, except for delights along the way. That's the image. The prophet said to raise up such a road for Christ to come to us. We are to remove the obstacles, disentangle from the sins of the world, open the door. How can we say that the Lord will bring us into places where we have to trust Him with all our heart because we can see there is no other help, and then still say that He will make our pathways straight, make a highway for us to come to Him? Isn't that a contradiction? Well, it's because our destination requires it. What does it mean to come to Him? What is our destination? We tend to think that our destination is heaven or the new earth. And we want an easy road to that destination. But that's not really the destination that the Bible teaches. I'm going to say something radical. It's halfway to unbelief. Our destination is to become more and more like Jesus. And in that way, on that road, to find our place in heaven and on the new earth. Romans 8, 28, 29 is so powerful in teaching this. We memorize the first part, right? In all things, God works for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purposes. Who doesn't know that verse? We all memorize it. And then people are always asking each other, so there's trouble coming. What in the world does God have in mind with that? Why did this come to me? I can't figure it out. What's God got? Why did that happen? What's God got in mind? That's why we need to read contextually. We need to read the next verse. What does verse 29 say? Verse 29 says, the next verse says, through these difficulties, through these struggles, He is conforming you into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. As we will walk through the troubles that come to us in faith, trusting in God, we will be made more and more into the image of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's His purpose. That's the road. Straight road. Even if it looks crooked, it's taking us where we got to go. And the only way to get there. And that's why Paul said, providing we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified with Him. The troubles that come to us as children of God are not crooked roads, but straight roads, straight to the way, straight way to God. The Lord says, trust me. And when you're in difficulty, look to me. Trust me. That's when you're going to be challenged on who you're really trusting. That's when faith is going to grow. That's like giving your plants a real shot of water and fertilizer. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And He will direct your paths. Now, this promise of God does have to do with us seeking Him and striving to do what is good and right. And as we strive to do good and right, our paths will be straight. It does involve that. I mean, we could focus on our responsibility in this if we wanted for a while. But there's also a promise here from the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways. And trust Him for the things you cannot control. The things you haven't got a clue about. What's coming tomorrow? Trust Him and His providence for tomorrow. He's promised He's going to bring you where He wants you to go. And He loves us in Jesus. Acknowledge Him. Know Him in Jesus Christ. Trust Him to watch over tomorrow. James says, we don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. Trust God. So congregation, trust the Lord with all your heart. Know Him. Bring to mind who He is. What He has done for you. That will be acknowledging Him. And He will make your path straight. Amen.